Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spoiler Alert, a weekly talk radio show for movie and television lovers. And boo, it's so cold out.
It is actually kind of cold,
though. Oh, it's so chilly. As a direct response to last week's episode about the hottest films, this week we're talking frigid temperatures on film. And I need to cuddle up close to my co-host to conserve our heat. I'm also here with Freeze a Jolly Good Fellow, Jeremy Legui, and the biggest flake I know, Sonia Stanger.
It's funny because it's true. I love to flake on things.
Snowflake.
I am such a snowflake.
Yeah, very that. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Ooh, how are you doing? It's so cold.
Your teeth are chattering. I know that we're joking, but it is actually like in stark contrast to the rest of the 2 weeks. It's not too bad.
It's true. And I am cold in my basement, so.
I know. You brag a lot about how chilly it is in your basement.
It is.
As Sonia and I are like.
At the ready right here.
Sonia and I are always like bangs plastered to our forehead. And you're like, oh, I'm so cold in my basement.
Fancy boy's cold in his basement.
Oh, fancy boy.
Ooh.
You guys, how do you feel about the cold weather? Do you prefer it over the hot? Sonia, I feel like I know your answer, but.
Well, here's the thing. I came out hard against hot weather last week. I took a firm stance.
Yeah. You really did, yeah.
But what I'm going to do now is be really annoying and also say that I don't love it when it's really cold.
Yeah.
My preference is a nice middle ground, a Goldilocks situation.
Very Goldilocks, yeah. Very just that. Right. Okay.
Yeah, like I like it to be temperate. But I will say if I have to choose, I think I would. It's hard because I think I would take cold over hot because you can always put more clothes on, you know, but you can't at a certain point, you're naked.
Well, and as we discussed, sometimes even taking the clothes off doesn't have anything to do with it.
Exactly. Cooling you down. But then there is the seasonal depression factor, which is that I objectively am happier when it's not winter. So I don't know how you square that. I guess I'll just leave that with you to think about.
You're right. If we could pick and choose and say, I don't get sad, but I also, it's nice and warm out. Oh, wait, that's both. That's the same.
Or just maybe like, it's temperate all the time.
Oh,
I guess
it's
just
temperate.
Need to move somewhere else.
So here are my thoughts on this. I do prefer when it's cold because then I feel like I have the agency over my body temperature.
Yeah.
Because I have such trouble cooling down when I'm too hot. Like, it will not go away. Whereas if it's cold, I can throw on enough layers that at some point, like, I win that battle and I have the control over it. But to echo what Sonia has said, with cold where we live comes the snow. And I can only put up with the snow for so long.
Well, as a man that got trapped in your own front yard like twice this past winter.
I mean, it happens, you guys. It happens. If it didn't snow, I would prefer it to be minus weather almost all the time.
Okay.
Now, there's a difference between minus 10 and minus 40. I'm not going to lie.
How many degrees is that? What is the difference?
Cheeky.
Mr. Math. You guys have done the thing where you like don't want to wear all the coats. So you think for a moment about like how long you'll logistically be outside. Bus riders especially know that like, oh man, like what is the worst this could possibly be? And am I prepared for that? But at some point, you know, you're just like, man, I hate wearing these boots. So I'm going to wear these running shoes, which are very comfortable. But then I have to make sure that I get from point to point in a timely manner.
Or my toes will fall off.
No, Jeremy, this is a bad decision. You have to have boots. You can play a little fast and loose with the coat, but the boots have to be
interesting.
Right.
I don't have boots, y'all. I don't have any boots.
What?
Yeah.
You live in Saskatchewan.
What kind of person are you? I guess, one, you know, every episode, the education system in Moose Jaw is dragged up and down. Every episode, we learn more and more about the failings down there in Moose Jaw.
No, you guys, I, like, you plan where you're going to go, you know, when it's bad. I'm talking, like, bad. Like, minus 35 plus, minus 35 minus, I should say. But I don't know.
Because it cancels out if it's minus plus.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
cancel culture. 0 degrees.
And that's everybody's favorite, 0 degrees.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, no, I definitely prefer dealing with the cold, provided it's not like skating on a horribly uneven packed thing of ice that we all in my neighborhood have created by driving over the same spot endlessly because the road is not wide enough because of the snow drifts that have been put up. And yes, my neighbors and I have all had to collectively shovel our street at once or twice, which is not a fun task nor an ideal one. But if it was just cold, I could do it. I could do it all the time. Hmm. That'd be great. I'd be all over it.
Hot take, Jer.
Yeah.
Oop, there it is.
Cold take. To me, I'm very boots and jacket culture. I like that. But then at a certain point in the winter, it's just like utilitarian. Mm. And you're just wearing a sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
So
it takes like 5 minutes to get ready to go anywhere. That's also tough.
And no person here can escape that feeling of being a kid in elementary school who's kind of late for school and knows that they have to go to the bathroom before they put all the stuff on, or like, yeah, like it just doesn't work. It's just a logistical nightmare putting the fireman suit on to go out there.
Right. Guys.
Just to go out there.
Just to go right
just
out
to get,
there.
Just to go out there and, you know, walk for probably too long to get to elementary school.
This is why we need to normalize adult diapers.
He's not wrong.
Normalize it.
He's not wrong.
Okay, let's talk about some chilliness on screen, on film. What is the best chilliness you've seen on the screen? What made you really shiver?
I think the first thing that came to mind for me thinking about this was Fargo. The Coen brothers.
Oh, yeah, Fargo.
Because even just from the beginning, like the opening shot is like a completely white screen. And then you realize that actually there's a car that starts to appear in the middle. And it's that like iconic image that everyone here would know of like blowing snow across the highway where it's like white out conditions. And it's just frosty. And like that whole movie, everyone's in their big coats. Everyone's making Midwestern chit chat about how cold it is.
Yeah.
I feel like it really takes you there.
There's actually a question that I have later that I was thinking about Fargo on. And it was like, what is your favorite sort of like being cozy, escaping the cold sort of moment? And mine is from Fargo when Frances McDormand is lying in bed with her husband and it's morning and she has to get up and go to work. And he's like, well, I'm staying in bed. And it's so like, I feel like everyone knows that feeling. Well, I feel like I know her feeling where I'm like, son of a, well, except she's also pregnant, but then he just gets to like lie there and go back to sleep.
Yeah, there's nothing worse when someone else gets to enjoy it and you have to get up.
Nightmare. Divorceable court. Offense. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
Jeremy, what about you? What is so cold?
I don't know why, but the second that we brought up this this thing, I was reminded of a specific scene in a movie I don't really like, which is, I can't remember what year, but do you guys remember the Lost in Space movie?
Oh, yes.
I think it's like 98 or something.
98 is exactly what I pitched.
There's this scene where they all get frozen in their chambers.
Yeah.
And there's like all these like devices that come over Matt LeBlanc's face as he talks about how he has bad dreams when he goes into like cryo sleep.
Oh my gosh.
I looked up, I didn't watch the movie, but I looked up the scene, but then like it instantly freezes him. Like there's like ice that like juts out and he's like in a second, he's just frozen.
Flash freeze.
And I feel like that's where we live sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know how that makes you guys feel, but when they thaw out, it looks so nice.
Mm.
It looks like they turn up the tropical storm and there's parts that are cut out because it's like the ship's crashing and stuff. But I still just feel like it looks like the nicest, like, warm little toaster box.
That's what in Batman and Robin, when Batman gets frozen by famous Mr. Freeze, and then Batman thaws him in that fountain, and it's so red and like gooey, like very viscous for some reason, and it looks very warm.
And I was also thinking of Austin Powers when they lower him into that goo, and then that like net picks him up.
Yeah.
Like
wow, it's there's gross, a lot of defrosting also... scenes.
There are.
I would like to go back to Lost in Space for a second because I used to watch that a lot and I haven't thought about it in like 10 years. Who else was in that? Who was the teen girl? Do you remember her name?
Penny?
Yeah. That actress is she like
she was on like Melrose Place or something.
Yeah.
And let's see here. Gary Oldman, William Hurt, Matt LeBlanc, Mimi Rogers, Heather Graham, Lacey Chabert.
Lacey Chabert, yes. Chabert,
yeah. She's Jack from Johnson, Mean Girls. Jared Harris.
Yeah, from Mean Girls, I was just about to say.
Gary Oldman plays the bad guy that hops on their ship and tries to destroy them. Ooh, what
Dr.
a great...
Dr. Smith.
What a great movie.
It did so poorly.
It probably wasn't a great movie, to be honest.
It was like, so I'm now on the page. Budget $80 million, box office $136 million. I do remember it kind of being terrible, but it did have a lot going for it in a way.
Well, I bet they probably wanted it to be episodic, because isn't Lost in Space kind of like Star Trek, where they're like, we're here for a little bit, and then we go over here for a little bit, but they just did once, and they were like, good enough.
Mm-hmm. Just sucked. Basically. But I mean, that's what happens when. They had trouble turning movies into or TV shows into movies for a long time.
It's not a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Can I mention a bonus warm up scene that's not cozy, but I really it's the first thing I thought of.
Yes, please.
Have you guys ever seen the movie The Saint?
Uh-uh. No.
So it's a Val Kilmer 1997 Elizabeth Shue film. And at one point, he has to evade capture in Russia by going under the ice, which he does successfully. But then he is pulled out of said ice and immediately feels the repercussions of his actions and is starting to go into hypothermia. So Elizabeth Shue has to save him in a sewer by huddling up against his body with hers. So they have to take off all their clothes and like cuddle.
Classic.
Yeah, forced.
And it's like simultaneously like a thrillery, sexy scene, and it is lodged into my memory.
I wonder why.
In the same way, Laura Dern's shorts are. Anyway,
you found it quite sexual for that sewer scene.
I rewatched it this week, and like it's not there. Like it's a very tense scene, and it's just them evading bad guys, and like. Whoa. In the 40 seconds they huddle together, there's no way he gets warm enough for them to get out of there. but it's just like I totally altered that moment on screen in my mind.
Yeah, 40 seconds on screen and 20 years in your brain.
An eternity. Oh, my God. Anyway, that's also a bad movie that I like a lot. But it's a wild scene. It's very fun.
I had a point, but I forget.
And it's gone.
About someone phrasing. I don't know. I'll think of it later. Oh. Okay, yeah. I was sorry. I'm thinking of The Shining.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because there is obviously famously at the end, he just freezes solid in the maze. But in the before times, it really builds the cold tension, like throughout the it opens like how Sonya kind of described too. Just mm-hmm. a car winding through endless white and just building the scene of like, you're trapped here, the winter's coming, and it's, you can't escape the winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how it's kind of the reverse of what we were talking about last week with do the right thing.
Yes.
My brain was like, oh, sorry, what's that? You wanted a word? No.
It did the wrong thing.
Where it, like, yeah, the like, pressing cold outside kind of, like, parallels the mounting tension inside and really contributes to that feeling of claustrophobia.
Yeah, it almost slows time in a way and forces you to, like, you know, like, live in certain moments. And that's the trope, right? Like, oh, we're snowed in. We can't get from wherever to wherever because of the, you know, we'll freeze out there or whatever. But it is interesting how, like, there's just all this associations with it. And I love that with the cold, it goes from like, oh, it's a beautiful wonderland of snow, and
to, you know, like, to like a treacherous, like, prison.
Like, it's just like all amped right up. But that's cold, baby.
When you're trapped in there with a madman.
Well, because all work and no play.
Exactly. Even though he seemed to be playing quite a lot,
yeah.
Jack Torrance. It's not like you're working that hard. No offense.
No offense, sir. You barely wrote a word on that novel.
Yeah, you wrote like 5 words just over and over. Okay. What else did you guys watch this week? Let's get into it.
Oh, sorry. Did we skip? Are we done the cozy question?
No. No, my mistake.
I just got confused.
They're a little bit run together.
Yeah.
So you pop in.
Well, that happens when things are cold, you know? You get that brain freeze.
My brain freeze, even though I'm impervious.
Yeah, you freak. The cozy scene that comes to mind for me is from a movie that I've talked about 1 million bajillion times, and that is 2019's Little Women.
Oh.
The Christmas morning scene. When I feel like it's extra cozy because it starts as a flashback and Jo's in this like really bleak, kind of cold time in her life, and she's like remembering this really cozy time in her former life. And it just like, it wakes up with her like having stayed up all night working on a play for the girls to do, and she like looks out the window and says like, Merry Christmas, world, and then comes downstairs and it's like the bustle of the 4 girls, and like the design on this movie is so incredible. So like the cozy inside of their sweet New England house is just like honestly off the charts. Like just there's like pine boughs everywhere, and just like it's lit in this way that's just like delicious. And you get kind of like the domestic moment of like the 4 girls, and then Marmee comes home and announces that she's just been at their very poor neighbor's house, and they're like starving and freezing and don't have anything to eat. So of course, because there has to be a moral lesson, the girls decide that they'll take their Christmas breakfast and give it to the Hummels. And then when they get back, Mr. Lawrence, their rich neighbor, has seen them do this good deed and has delivered them a beautiful Christmas feast. And
pay
so it
forward.
Like, it like ticks all of the cozy boxes where it's like, you know, wholesome. You've got family. You've got like the visuals of the snow and all that stuff. And then just like the cozy feeling of this like delicious Christmas feast.
And then it ends with them doing
their little play for all of the neighborhood children. And it's, again, very wholesome and cozy. So, I mean, I just don't think there's a cozier scene than that.
What about when Amy falls in the ice and they have to warm her up?
That's the opposite.
Yes, yeah, the very much opposite.
But when they warm her up.
Eventually, I guess. But then the girls are fighting.
So. No, then the girls are girling, for sure.
I would like to hit you with a scene I think may be cozier that I watched this week.
Wow.
At the child of the show's selection, which was, of course, Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
Iconic.
Anyway.
And where in the canon does this fall?
This is like the 3rd or 4th one, I think.
I think 4th. I think there's a 3.
What is that Sanj, Scrat getting up to in this one?
Yeah, Sanj, have you seen this?
Do you know I haven't seen this one, actually. I think I've seen the first 3, though.
So So the premise is, and this is what got me this whole time, is that there's the Ice Age, and there's ice all over everything, and they find this cave, and they go through the cave, and they somehow make their way underneath the ice, where all the dinosaurs are still alive in a jungle that's been kept warm by the ice.
So deeply historically accurate is what I'm hearing.
Super accurate. Yeah, I assume this is where all oil comes from.
That's why we have to. That's why we have to dig really deep.
Yeah.
What's that process where we have to dig really deep? My brain is also stupid.
Mining?
Fracking. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, RuPaul. I had to.
Anyway, I would just like to sort of highlight the ridiculousness of this. They still make it work, and then we go into the adventures of Buck Wild, who is a marsupial who is sort of like a superhero beneath the ice.
Buck Wild is a character.
Yes, he is a character. he is a one-eyed like squirrel rat dude that swings around and rides dinosaurs. You guys, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, sounds fun. Honestly, probably will watch.
Those dinosaurs living their cozy life under there. Go on.
Yeah. No, there's an evil Triceratops who's gained the power of intelligence named Orson.
Wells?
Oh, that's definitely an illusion.
I'm not going to say.
It has to be.
But it definitely is. There's no question about
it. Does he have a sled at some point?
Oh, I don't think so. I'll ask the child.
See, let her know. Or tell her to let us know. I was watching Misery today because I wanted to see if I could squeeze it in. I don't know why I couldn't. I looked at the time before we were recording and the time we had of the film, and I was like, maybe I could squeeze it in. Impossible. But I did. Honestly, I was like, Annie's house is pretty cozy. Like, it's like storming hard outside, and James Caan is just snug as a bug in a rug inside, storm beating away at the window. Annie beating away on his legs in the end, but but until that Yowza. he was living a very cozy time before that. Have you guys seen this movie?
Yeah, it's so good, and that's a frosty one.
It's a frosty one. That Dirty Birdie. Yeah, I read the book when I was honestly way too young, probably like 12, but I've never seen the film.
Oh, and what did you think?
Oh, man.
And James Caan just keeps popping up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You missed him, Sean.
I did. I miss him.
Did you like it?
As I said, I'm maybe a half hour left. The tension is really ramping up. Mm-hmm. But they are so good. I kind of a little bit forget how he gets out of this, to be honest. I guess I'll find out after the show.
Yeah, we'll
find
out. Gotta wait and see.
But I do think, like, I don't know, the powerhouse that is Kathy Bates.
A disturbingly young Kathy Bates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, at her prime, well, not in her prime, but doing some of her best work, let's put it that way. Because she is just, like, terrifying and then charming and then, like, they did really great work, and it is just the pair of them, right? Like, it is just two people. James Caan, he's doing his thing, but like he's not moving, right? Like, he's just like acting.
And he's just kind of guarded eyes and beads of sweat, and then she's just running amok.
What's the name of the book that he writes? What's it called?
Misery Returns is what she wants him to write.
Right. Yeah, and that's the character's name.
Misery Chastain, yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
And his literary agent, Lauren Bacall.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, why did you kill Misery? She has the weirdest voice. She's like, no. And all the good she did for you, you killed Misery. Anyway,
why is that so accurate?
I was so surprised to see her pop it in there. Anything else a little bit cozy before break? Before escaping the chill in the air.
No, I think it just gets colder from here, Sean.
I think so too, Bridget.
I think you're right. Well, don't call ICE, we'll call you. We'll be back. We'll be back talking cold movies on 91.3 FM CJTR Regina Community Radio, tuned into the community. And we're back, and starting with a clean slate on 91.3 FM CJTR Regina Community Radio. We'll be back talking cold films in a minute, but first we'll play a little game, lovingly called The Game.
It's game time, people.
What?
Brrr. It's too cold for the air horn.
Chatter, chatter, chatter.
For those who don't know, or if you're just tuning in, The Game is where I spend literally probably 5 seconds this week looking for a title related to our topic that these two have hopefully not seen. I tell them the title, they tell me what they think it's about, I tell them what it's really about. You guys ready to play the game?
I guess I'm ready.
This week's title is Frozen.
Okay.
Okay.
That title again. Frozen.
Oh, I want to do it so bad.
Okay, well, let it go. What? This is shocking.
I think this movie is about two orphan Nordic sisters torn apart by a dark, terrible secret. And then the secret is unleashed. It's that one of them has terrible ice powers that she's hidden her whole life. And is very queer-coded. And then she accidentally freezes the whole kingdom. And then the other sister has to go and find her. She falls in love with a guy who loves a reindeer in the meantime. And was raised by trolls. I'm like, what else do I remember?
You have
movie?
Your guess is very specific.
and then surprise, sisterly love saves the day.
Yeah, well, reindeers are better than people. So.
True.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's
thank
not you so true. Much. That's patently false. well, I see that Sonia took quite the big swing on hers.
She did.
And so I guess I say that Frozen is about a serial killer that when they kill their victims, they freeze them and form them into like weird, eerie tableaus. Like they're building like they're building a statue of a fake town. And so they have people frozen like, starting a car or kicking a ball, like all these sort of fun things, but the people are frozen. And then it's up to detectives Elsa and Anna, who are two sort of lesbian-coded detectives that are solving the crime, and they're trying to solve the mystery of the frozen serial killer.
Wow, thank you. Thank you both for your incredibly in-depth.
And the biggest line of the show is they're like, I don't want to build a snowman. Oh. Like after they arrest him. Anyway.
Maybe is that what the killer's called, the snowman?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He doesn't turn them into snowmen necessarily, yeah. But
like
yeah.
The papers call him the snowman.
I deal with that. I'm into that. Yeah. The papers. Yeah.
The
rags.
Thank you both for your incredibly inventive and in some cases very accurate
if Sonia gets a point for this, I'll be really angry actually.
So exciting.
You're both wrong in all ways, shapes, and forms.
I mean, I'm technically right because you did not specify which
The game is that I tell you the title based off the Wikipedia page before me, and you tell me what you think the title's about. And if it matches, you get a point. That's how the game works. That's the game.
And if you have problems, you can talk to our lawyer, Sonia.
do we have a lawyer?
No, we don't have a lawyer on retainer at this time.
Frozen is a 2010 American psychological survival horror film.
Okay.
Directed by Adam Green.
It feels like I'm still in the game.
You were kind of close, Sean, but you'll see. It stars Emma Bell, Sean Ashmore, some dude named Kevin, and Riley Vanderbilt. So the premise of this movie is that three friends, well, like a couple and a friend, go skiing on a mountain, And then it's the last day the ski lift is open before a long weekend.
Oh, no.
And they convince the dude to let them go up the mountain. And then another guy sees people come off the mountain, another operator of the ski lift, and they are trapped on the ski lift and are unable to get off of the ski lift.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, wolves show up and start like running beneath them. One guy tries to jump down and immediately breaks both of his legs, and the wolves eat him.
Yeah. You were safe up there.
Dark. Yeah.
Well, they're going to get frozen. And then another character attempts to climb down like the cable, and that starts to jostle the seat loose. I'll not spoil the whole thing, but only one of them makes it out alive.
Oh my God.
Dang.
Yeah. 2010's Frozen. It did not do well, but I don't think it was that expensive to make.
It does not sound that way.
Anyway, I picked it purely because it sounds like the movie Frozen. Like that's.
So. I'm never going to let it go.
There we go. Oh, that God. Seems reasonable to me. You guys, thank you for playing the game.
Thank you.
Snow Jerry.
And this is why I don't put up with ski lifts. I don't think I don't think they're right, and I don't think they're safe.
I think they're morally incorrect.
I think they're morally wrong.
I'm not a fan of them either. And as I see children hop off with glee and grace, and I fall off every time. I don't understand.
Famously, the last time I rode on a ski lift, it ran over me, steamrolled me in front of my friends.
Not in front of your friends.
Yeah, and my friends saw. And they had to stop the whole thing, and it was very embarrassing.
And then, of course, there's the ride of shame where you don't get off in time, and you have to go back down.
Okay, well, I've never done the ride
that
of shame.
That would be awful. I feel like it would be
so
scary.
Wait, people are trying to get on the lift, and you just come swinging in, already sitting on it?
Yeah, then they just skip you, and then they get the next people on the... They could,
that
those 16-year-olds who operate at the bottom know what they're doing. The guy at the top,
oh my God. Not so much. What if you missed it the second time? Would they just kick you off?
And that would be even worse. I've only done one lap. Only done one lap of shame, but the bar was actually broken. Like we could not, like all three of us were stuck and could not get out. And
that's dangerous.
We got down to the bottom, and then they stopped it, and we all got off. And then they like put some orange tape on it, and we got on the next one, and it was fine. But
thanks.
I still had to feel that pressure.
No kidding.
Oh, my God.
So,
okay, you guys, what movies depicting coldness did you watch this week?
Well, Sean, at your suggestion.
Oh my God!
And leadership.
I guess. Yes, of course.
I took in a totally normal and not at all outrageous film called Happy Feet from 2006.
Yes, a part of George Miller's bizarre filmography.
I was just about to say, we talked about Mad Max last week and George Miller. And now we're talking about possibly his best work, which is the absurd, the absurd
a
computer
complete
animated
lie.
Jukebox musical. About penguins.
It is a jukebox musical.
It is. For some reason, like honestly, that might be the best part about it is the songs.
No, I found those that oppressive medley. Like it was way too much.
It was too much. Anyway,
the plot basically is that each penguin has a heart song, which is a shite pop song that they just know the tune to.
It just comes out.
And they just sing it all the time. And I'm like, how entertaining is that? They seem to sing it to each other constantly.
Yeah, and it's like very confusing because the human world exists in the universe of this film. In fact, this movie is kind of a parable about overfishing, but in a weird, it resolves it in a weird, weird way.
Like, do they posit a world in which Prince somehow heard a penguin singing a tune and stole it? Did he hear Nicole Kidman breathlessly sing Kiss and say, and then like, we don't know where pop songs are coming from now. They could be invented by penguins.
I do feel like that, like, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched, like, True Blood, where, like, vampires walk and live among humans.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the Penguin version of that, and, like, Happy Feet 2 is just penguins, like, going to work in the human world. Like, that's the vibe I get from the whole thing.
That's the vibe, but in the first one, Mumbles is the one, he's the main
also
character.
Also that name.
I know. Mumbles Happy Feet is literally his name. he's the one who, like, discovers humans and, like, makes contact with them, gets taken to a zoo, starts tap dancing at the zoo. For some reason, that leads the humans to put a tracking device on him and send him back out into the wild, which is definitely not what would happen. We are terrible.
To see which world he came from.
Yeah. And then they show up, and then all of the penguins, thousands of them, do a tap dance, and that leads to humans finally taking action and passing legislation to ban overfishing.
Now that we know that penguins can tap dance. You did forget the part where Mumbles, like, and his grad class kind of go to, like, Cancun for spring break.
Yeah.
And he meets famous Latino actor Robin Williams.
Oh, God.
And he gets a gang of, he gets a little gang of like, Spanish penguins that he hangs out
yeah.
with.
Yeah. Who are all of the rest of them are played by actual Latino actors. But for some reason, Robin was like, let me get in here and do an accent. And actually not one, but two, because he also plays
because
another
then
character.
Because he plays
a
very
accent.
Similar character.
Yes.
And is and doing like a very, honestly, quite offensive impression of like a black preacher.
And he's also the dad, right?
No, Hugh Jackman
no,
doing
that's
an
Hugh
Elvis
Jackman.
Impression.
Is that, oh, is it Hugh? Okay.
That's Daddy.
I was wrestling.
you might remember that's Daddy.
I was wrestling with that the whole
time.
It's
so weird. His dad, Hugh Jackman, does an Elvis impression the whole movie.
He does.
And
his mom,
Nicole Kidman,
does a, like a Marilyn impression.
A Marilyn impression.
It was
and
giving
it's very horny.
It was giving Rockadoodle like after the fact.
It was.
And it was but so horny.
The whole movie.
And
but
I
in a very unsettling way.
I
sent you guys the clip of her of Nicole Kidman talking to Hugh Jackman, and she says, dance, daddy, dance for your boy. And it's so
eerie. Your boy, daddy.
It's so eerie, and like it sent shivers down my spine. I was I was very disturbed. I don't know why she did that.
Happy Feet is a movie in our household that the VHS has broken on. Like, it doesn't work. I can't get it to play, and I don't know why.
Oh, no.
Like, I'll hit play, and it's just not on there anymore. Like,
that's it's so sad, Jared.
Yeah.
It's because the gods said, I'm destroying
the
this.
The daddy gods.
Daddy doesn't want to dance with his boy.
No, he does not.
Honestly, like it is like kind of entertaining. Like there are times when you're like, I have no idea what's coming next. This movie could go anywhere.
I just like I don't understand how because George Miller,
yes,
like seems to be a genius in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea of thinking of him just like being like, okay. So all of the penguins are. Tap dancing. They have this big, every penguin is doing a big beat, but then the elders who are opposing them are singing a mournful song over the beat. And he's just like, imagine that.
I think like, he was probably high.
Oh, I think he did.
Yeah.
One of the biggest rips in the world before doing
I thought that at several points throughout this movie, I was like, a high person came up with this.
But that's then how did he get all of this voice talent?
It's like very much like a George Miller movie in the fact that it's kind of funny, it's kind of serious, it's kind of this, it's kind of that, but it is just absolutely unhinged.
Yeah, exactly.
like it's all of the things taken as far as they could go, and that makes it so uncomfortable.
Yeah, the tone when he gets to the zoo and then the tone changes to like sort of a very eerie like Jordan Peele movie. It like took such a turn.
Yeah, it gets so
absolutely.
Dark.
Absolutely.
And
did you
also
guys watch...
half the cast is like passed. That's just like it's a very strange film.
Did you guys watch Happy Feet 2 or no?
No, is it worth it?
Oh my god.
No. Don't okay. watch it. I did not finish it. Like I couldn't go further.
Mm. I did read a fact that because Brittany Murphy passed after this film was made, that Pink actually voices that penguin for the second one.
Oh man. She does. It's right here.
So I guess they are kind of similar voices, but not overly.
No, not really. Not at all.
Maybe not at all. Well, good try, Pink, I guess. What's good it try. About, Jer?
I don't know. I literally was 15 minutes and I had to quit.
That's fair.
I'm pretty sure Mumbles is a dad. I didn't like watch it fully, but even the child was like, I'm not. Like, let's watch Muppet Babies. Like, it was okay to go from Happy Feet 2. Yeah.
It's crazy because George Miller's filmography is literally, like, the Happy Feet, franchise, of which there's a lot of films in that. And then the sort of Mad Max franchise. Mm-hmm. Like, he's kind of, these are my babies.
But, like, he did Babe, right?
Oh, yeah. And in the City. So good.
You know. And I get the feeling that he's the kind of guy who, like, makes something for a long time. Like, he, like, thinks, and it does, Happy Feet feels like it was rewritten and rewritten and rewritten, like, and this, oh, we'll do this, and we'll add this, and this could happen. And, oh, we got Hugh Jackman, let's make this part bigger. You know, like, I do feel like it just, like, kept adding and adding and adding. But, like, it's such a crazy career. We should do a show about him.
The man is bonkers.
Yeah, like the Witches of Eastwick is on this list.
Wild.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Wow.
He's got range.
He does.
He's got the weirdest range. Ang Lee is shook.
I don't know about that, but
what else did you guys watch this week?
I watched just such an excellent, deeply well-made film from 2017 called The Mountain Between Us. Have either of you seen this?
What is that?
This is a movie that I suspect almost no one ever saw, with Idris Elba and Kate Winslet, in which they get into a plane crash in a tiny chartered jet that they chartered and didn't file a flight plan for, even though they were driving into a winter storm. And then they crash, Beau Bridges, who was flying the plane, dies, spoiler alert. And then it's just the two of them stuck in the wilderness in the Rockies trying to figure out what they're going to do.
Is the relationship like, they're like plucky, or are they like, is it sort of kind of dramatic?
It's dramatic.
Are they like, you're getting on my nerves?
Yeah, she's like a brash photographer, journalist, and he is a heartbroken, quiet, and reserved neurosurgeon. But if you are going to get into a plane crash and be stranded with someone, a neurosurgeon is a good choice, apparently, because he really helped her out. And then she was actually on, the reason that she needed to charter this plane is because she was trying to get home for her wedding the next day, because you would for sure plan your plans that way to fly the day before your wedding.
Yeah. Are you insane, Kate?
But so then it becomes this thing where they have like mounting romantic and sexual tension.
Of course, mounting.
Exactly. Better pun than any pun in the movie, by the way. And then, it just is. It's
did
like
they eat
very
their pilot?
Beautiful. They did not eat the pilot, which I kind of was like, you could have.
Just leaving that buffet home?
Literally, go, Bridget. It's wild. They make wild choices throughout. Like, I feel like a survivalist watching this movie would rip their hair out. Tonally, it's so weird and confusing. It's like not really an adventure movie, but kind of like not really a romantic movie, but kind of, and then ends up being, I just don't know what it was for or who it was for. And some of it was really stressful to watch.
So, did you like it?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was some of it was pretty. And like they both did. I feel like if it was any other two actors, it would have been awful. Like, they did their best.
Okay, well.
That's all you can hope for. Thank you, Sonia.
Between us, yeah.
Gosh.
What about you, Jeremy?
I watched a little movie from 2007. I'm gonna preface this with, like, it's not good. I knew it wasn't good. I still kind of enjoyed it, but it was bad. And that's 2007's 30 Days of Night.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. I watched that in theater and it disturbed me.
Yes. So this Woof. Is Josh Hartnett. Thank you. Movie wherein for 30 days in at the South Pole, there is no sun. Mm-hmm. For 30 days, and that is where vampires like to go to hang out for basically a vacation. Like, that's the only way I can put
yeah.
it.
That's their Cancun.
Essentially. I mean, I don't, like, I'm like, that's, that is the
well,
only
I think
way
that I can... they, I think that they used, they were, like, approaching taking over the world, and so they're like, let's start at this, the furthest outposts and work our way in, mm-hmm. is what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. It's okay. The premise is good. Ben Foster is in it, and that dude, like, he just, it doesn't matter what he's doing, he's going to 10. Like, he plays this, like, weird wandering character guy. It's interesting because after, like, 20 minutes, like, once the sun goes down and the vampires show up, no one's really scared about the cold anymore.
Well, the cold, like, is the least of their worries at that point.
Like, they just, yeah, like, it's not a big deal. And from what I can tell, for the most part, like, they're living out on, like out on the ice. Like, they're not, like, indoors so much because there's vampires there. Anyway, it's just kind of crazy.
It is a very, yeah, I was scared by that. Yeah. Mostly, like, straight up, just, like, the idea of being, like, everyone get your affairs in order because the town shuts down for, like, there's no planes in and out and you have to have all of your supplies. And we're just, for 30 days, we just yeah. stay here. Like, that's pretty freaky.
Yeah, that doesn't yeah. make sense.
Not at all. I think I misspoke. I think I said South Pole. It takes place in Alaska. Like, it's a town in Alaska. But, yeah, no, it's far out. And
it's far out.
Far out, man.
It's something. It's bad. I think the thing I don't believe is that Josh is a sheriff. I think that is the part. Like, I'm
well,
fine
yeah,
with
he's
the vampires.
Like, he's like, I'm 25 years old and I'm sheriff of this town.
Like, I just can't see it. And I think that that's what makes it difficult. But
they ended up conquering the vamps, right? How did they?
Do you want to know the ending?
Yeah, just, like, let me brush me up. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Josh is fighting them, and it looks dire, so yeah. he injects himself with vampire blood to become a vampire to fight them. And then he and his lady friend, who I think are the last remaining people, stay out for the one last sunset as they're both burned alive because they're now vampires. But they win. They get them all before they also go.
Nice.
Which is good. Like, that's a solid premise. But, like, is he a sheriff? You know? Like, is he?
I love that.
I don't know.
Check the credentials. Wow, yeah. That's depressing. RAP that entire town.
Yeah. Basically.
Yikes.
But.
Well, thank you for bringing the chill to the air, you two. I think we should move in. If anyone has anything else that you've been watching this week, what else you been watching?
Well, I did promise after Jared introduced it last week that
the
I
Persuasion.
Would be here this week. Yes, with my review of 2022's Persuasion on Netflix.
And?
Brace for review.
Brace. Oh, wow.
It's an atrocity, honestly. It's
really
bad.
My god, these words.
It's so, I mean, like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter, but it just rubbed me so the wrong way. And, like, some of the casting was really good. Like, it was beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It had potential, and I think that just makes it worse that it's, like, almost good and then is shite. And it just is, like, just the relentless and crass cramming in of quote-unquote Gen Z slang into the movie. Like, okay, this book features some of the most beautiful lines that Jane Austen ever wrote. There's, like, this beautiful long passage about how they're, like, they once were so intimate and now they're strangers to each other. And she turns that into, we're worse than strangers, we're exes. And things of the like. At one point, there's an I'm like, an empath joke.
Oh, my God.
It just is like, I get it. I get what they were trying to do. Honestly, what they were trying to do was recreate Autumn de Wilde's Emma from a couple years ago. But Anne Elliot, who's the main character of Persuasion, is a vastly and entirely different character than Emma. And she's just, she doesn't fit into this like trope that they're trying to fit her into. And it's this thing now where it's like every female protagonist needs to be Fleabag, needs to be this like, ah, she's such a mess. She's like a, you know, quirky mess and like is like brash and all of these things. And it's like not every female character has to be that to be interesting or worthwhile.
It's the Iron Man thing, right? Like it's the same, like, oh, this was successful, so let's make more movies with different characters the same way, right? Like, you know, and it's really weird and frustrating how like they can't not do it. Mm-hmm. You know, like they just keep doing the thing again. And it's like, oh, let's just take this square peg and shove it into the round hole that worked last time, and it'll be great.
Yeah, and like if you want to do a fresh adaptation, I think that's awesome. Like, I'm not a purist in the sense that you can't ever do a modern adaptation. Like, Clueless is brilliant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this is. This is trying to have the best of both worlds.
Yep.
Well, scathing a review of Persuasion by Sinus Danger. And with that, we'd like to thank Saskatoon's The Garys for letting us use their song Manituna for our theme song. We'd like to thank everyone here at CJTR and all of you at home for lending us your ears. We're broadcast Wednesdays at 6, Fridays at 3, and are available as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Play, and anywhere else podcasts are played. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, so give us a follow. Have a good night.
Bye.
See ya.